gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100 yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast Show. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I'm always joined by my co-host on What a Run.
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the national football on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. Ron, we just had our divisional games last week or 6 days ago, or what's today, Wednesday? So that would be 3 days ago, sorry. By the way, this is episode 117. Ron, overall, were you entertained by these games?
Yeah, for the most part, there wasn't really any outside of the Detroit-Washington. The Buffalo-Baltimore game, that was a great game, too. But I don't think there was a lot of exciting plays or anything like that. What game was it that was kind of a little bit boring? The Rams game. I still sat in front of the TV all weekend and kind of watched all of them. And I was, I kind of stuck with all the games, to be honest with you.
Full disclosure, I told you before we recorded, I did not see the Houston-Kansas City game live. But all the other games, I thought they were entertainment. I mean, Detroit with that letting 45 points, the Rams making that late comeback. I mean, same thing with Baltimore making that late. I mean, yes, four quarters, it was with boring games, but I think that, it was somehow entertainment, and we'll talk about it when we do the recap. We'll have the NFL news, we'll do the divisional games recap, and we'll do our conference game picks. But first, let's start with the news. And Ron, Mike Vrabel has his team. The Patriots have everyone lined up. And I will say it again, and I'll say it on record, mark me down for the over, because this team is going to over. I don't know what the Sharks are going to put them as far as wins totals for next year, but I am going over.
We know the opponents, right?
Yes.
And we'll get to the coaching staff in a minute here. But when you say we're going over, what are you talking? Like 5 wins? Are you talking 8 wins? Well, are you talking 10 wins? How confident are you feeling just looking at the opponents?
Optimistically, I'm saying 8 wins.
Realistically,
we're going to have more wins than 4.
Okay, what is that? 5? Is that 7?
6. 6 for sure.
Okay. All right.
8.
Okay.
8 I'm hoping for. But 6 for sure, cuz we already know the opponents, and it's not like, I think when you look at which of those teams actually made the playoffs, you can count them in one hand. So I am very optimistic about this next year, because darn it, if the Commanders can do it, I'm sure that the Patriots.
We'll see. I mean, every team starts off at 0-0. So, you start anew. I think all the teams will look different next season. This season's not even over yet. But just looking at some of the opponents, if I was to say, okay, just based on who's on those teams now, yeah, there's a good chance Patriots can have a decent season. But at the same time, you got to understand, like, the rosters haven't been finalized yet for next year. We haven't gone through the draft, free agency, any of that stuff yet. So a lot of these teams are going to look so much different when we get to this time, like next year.
Like different how? Like they're going to improve? You think that the Raiders are going to improve by getting a rookie QB? Or
absolutely. I think they're going to be better.
You think the Jets are going to be better? You think the Browns are going to be better? You think the Giants are going to be better? I just don't see it. I don't see it with these teams. You think that the Titans are going to be better?
First of all, let's better than what? Better than the Patriots, potentially. Because Patriots had 4 wins. So, you're talking about teams that the Patriots are ranked at the bottom with, along with, right? So, doesn't matter if you have a good coaching staff. Are the Raiders going to be better? Yeah, it really depends on who their quarterback is, who they bring in, as their head coach. Is it going to be Pete Carroll? We'll see. what their roster looks like.
We already know he's turned them down, so it's not going to be to Pete Carroll. So what I'm saying is these teams historically haven't been good. And then Orderson, 1 year difference is going to... Orderson, they're going to be good. I don't see it, Ron. And I know your team got ousted not too long ago, so you're still hurting. But this... And we already know the Titans, they already said it today that they're not grabbing a QB. So they like Levis. So they already, the owner already came out and said, no, we're not grabbing a QB. We don't need one.
The owner, you think today, right now, rosters being where they're at, that you would put money on the Patriots beating the Titans, like right now?
Yes. With the QB they have, with the...
You have no offensive line. You have no running back that's been good. You have no receivers that show anything.
We have a running back that's good. He hasn't been good because he hasn't been coached correctly.
Well, I could say that about their receivers or their running backs or, you know, whatever, their defense. That's the point.
If you get a new tactic, a new strategy, a new everything, because he's overhauling everything. Bringing in actually experienced people. Now, not to take away from Van Pelt, but I'm sure he's going to probably land a job soon. But the defensive coordinator, never been a defensive coordinator. You know, Mayo, first-time head coach. There was a lot of things that did not improve this year. They just didn't.
I'm not saying the Patriots aren't going to be better. What I'm saying is hard to quantify how much better they're going to be when it comes to wins and losses, even by looking at what seems to be an easy schedule. Because I can tell you this time last year, a lot of people probably looked at their schedule this year and said, oh, you know what? Washington's going to be an easy win. And look where Washington's sitting at right now. So, you know, that's the point I'm making.
Washington got a generational QB. I just don't see that with the Giants. I don't see that with the Jets. I damn don't see that with the Raiders. Like, to me, they have to get a generational QB. And I'm saying that the Patriots have one. Yes, it's still developing, but there is so much potential. So much potential. And I'm saying, you can run, you can diminish this as much as you can because
I'm
your team...
I'm not diminishing anything.
Yes, you are.
Listen, I think... Well, how am I diminishing?
Saying that these teams are going to be better in 1 year. No.
I said they're going to be better. They're going to be better this year. You're saying you came out saying they were, you know, optimistically they're 8 wins. I'm like, let's slow down a little bit. Let's get to 6 wins, okay? Let's get to 6 wins. Let's first of all build your roster, right? There's a lot of holes in your Patriot roster that needs to be filled.
There was 1 win at home this year. 1 win.
Okay, yes.
I can already see 4 wins at home this year.
But that's my point. That's what I don't think anyone should be doing in January, you know, because, again, those teams are going to look different. And, again, a lot of people looked at Washington and thought, oh, that's a pushover win. You have Atlanta at home, right? You think you're beating Atlanta next year?
Atlanta at home? Hey, who is going to be the QB?
So you know who the QB is. It's Penix. They've moved on at this point from Cousins, right? They're going to probably have him as a backup or let him go altogether.
I'm looking at home. Jets, they don't have a QB. They don't have a coach.
They don't have a QB yet. They don't have a coach yet.
That's what I mean. The Patriots already have a full staff. They're miles ahead.
But this is the hiring season right now. It's not over, right? Teams are still playing. The playoffs aren't done.
You got to do what you got to do first. You got to be in the pie first. If you want to pick the best, you got to be the first one. And I'm saying that we are doing our job by just getting ahead of the plan. Oh, we're not in the playoffs? Let's go. Let's rebuild our team. I don't know what these other teams are doing.
There's definitely reason for optimism. All I'm saying is simmer down. Let's see what they do, what changes they make throughout the season, how well they build the roster. Because if you come back and you don't fix your offensive line, or if you don't figure out your receiver situation, you know, then you're going to have the same. It doesn't matter who your coaches are. You're going to run into the same issues. You got to build the roster too. But now, so I think you have the right guys to do that.
Ron, With the team as it is right now, it's 8 wins as it is right now, because these players were performing when Bill Belichick was there. As soon as he left and someone else came in, they stopped performing. They stopped performing. And I'm saying that this new hire, this new head coach, is going to get them back to the performing ways.
I'm not
judging them by what the future roster might be. Because then, you know, you never know what they're picking at number 4. It could be, you know, it could be a linebacker, it could be a, you know, a offensive line, it could be anything. I'm saying, like, yes, there is so much potential now that these players have a new coach. So I'm saying, like, yes, I don't care if they, you know, those are already negative, because I listen to a lot of
how much better was Mayo than Bill? Or Bill than Mayo, like the roster? Because Bill's record in 23 was 4-13. Yeah, so it's the same roster, the same amount of wins, right?
Because he didn't have a quarterback. You think that Bill would have the same record with Drake?
Okay,
May?
But so then did Mayo have a quarterback?
Yeah, he was inexperienced. He didn't know what to do. That's why he got fired. He didn't know what to do. He had a quarterback with tons of athleticism, tons of potential, and he didn't know how to coach
him. I'm talking to someone who didn't even want to play him, right? You didn't even want to play him. So now here you are saying, yeah, not only should he be playing, but he should have been developed now at this point. So,
well, if he was smart, he would have sat Drake May and just say, you know what, this season is not happening. Drake, it's not happening. But I feel like he didn't have that kind of assurance to coach on the next year. And when he saw that Brissett was basically not good, I don't know if he's even going to be signed again for next season. He had to play Drake May because he looked at it and said, this guy is not as good as Drake May. He had to play him. It was like his arm was behind his back. It's like, if I'm to save my job, I have to play Drake May. So it was like, what's going on right now? Are you developing this guy? Are you just putting him out to play to save your job? Like, there was so many mixed signals throughout the season of what he wanted to do that, you know what? Good riddance. Goodbye. I'm glad
that four and thirteen was Bill's final record the year before that, 8-9. And then 10-7 before that, 7-9 a year before that. So the last 4 years, not that spectacular. I'm not saying Mayo's was a good coach. I'm just saying that roster is exactly the same or similar to what Bill had.
Yeah,
lots of holes.
Did Mayo do anything? Did Mayo? They underperformed, and we thought that the defense was going to be good. The defense underperformed.
But my point is that if you go in with the same roster, I don't care who your coach is, Drake May has talent, but if he's throwing to nothing but Hunter Henry all day long, there's only so much you're going to do, right? If he's getting sacked all day long, there's only so much you're going to do, right? And that's where the roster building, like, and that's where I do trust Vrabel and his staff much more than I do with May. Vrabel has that experience and stuff.
And not only do you trust Vrabel more, but you, Christian Barmore, Keon White, you know, if they draft that guy from Penn State, we're talking about a good defensive, you know, front line, even the linebackers. So I am very content, and this is, I'll say it again, above 6 wins, possibly 8 wins. Mark it down. Okay. Mark it down.
I will wait till we get to about June, July to start making like projections of what people are. When I see like not just the Patriots roster, but when I start to see, you know, where other players go, where free agents are landing and stuff like that, that I, you know, I'll make some decisions and judgments around that. I'd say the same thing about the Steelers. I couldn't tell you. I know they got what seems to be a tough schedule. I don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be yet. You know, I don't know what their receiver, you know, is going to be yet. So I can't.
Steelers have a lot of question marks.
Right.
I don't think the Patriots the question marks have kind of been answered. Not all of them, but at least the most important ones. And that was like, who is your head coach? So, yeah, we're comparing orange to apples here. This very different scenarios when we talk about the Steelers and we talk about the Patriots. The other set of news, Ron, is O'Connell got an extension from the Vikings. Was this a smart move?
Yeah, for sure. I think you know how I feel about O'Connell. I think he's a really, really good coach. I think he's one of the best in the league. You know, it doesn't surprise me that he got an extension. They probably should have extended him last year. It's a good move for sure by the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, even if they don't have, even if J.J. McCarthy's not ready, they've already said that Sam Darnold is not coming back. They're going to keep Daniel Jones. So I guess you can say that Sam Darnold was a rental, I guess, a one-year lease. And
to win 12 games with a one-year lease is pretty, that's damn good coaching.
Would you give Darnold an extension if you were another team, or you would do 1 year again?
If I'm another team, absolutely, he deserves to play, to get a contract. Now, are there a lot of teams looking for a 30 however old quarterback? There are probably a few. You named a few, right? Like the Jets that don't have one right now. The Giants. The Raiders, but some of those teams are going to draft a quarterback this year. So, but he's going to land on his feet somewhere. I'd be interested to see what kind of contract he gets. He'll probably get somewhere around like, 26, 27 million or something like that, I would imagine, for 2 years. Same thing with like Russell Wilson when he lands on his feet. I think they'll both get similar contracts, but Darnold had more success, or his team has had more success. It's McCarthy too, and the Vikings, he's going to be fine. He's going to fit right into their system, and they're going to go right back out and win another 12 games next year.
Yeah, I think O'Connell has him heading in the right direction. I don't know if Brian Flores stays, but if they do, they make a good duo. They make a great duo. This is kind of related. So the Lions lose, and then they lose twice. Aaron Glenn to the Jets, Ben Johnson to the Bears. If you're Dan Campbell right now, are you hanging your hat on the fact that you need to replace those guys?
I'm panicking a bit, yes, because those are two great coaches, two great coordinators. In the case of like Ben Johnson, he was running that offense for a number of years now. It could have left last year. Came back. I think it's going to be tough to replace those guys. Now, they have a lot of talent on the team, a lot of injuries on defense. We'll talk about the game last week and stuff like that, but a lot of those guys come back next year. So there's definitely, like, as far as like the GM, that GM, whoever the manager is, knows what he's doing because they've brought in a lot of talent on that team. They just got to find, Dan Campbell has to find the coordinators now that can lead the offense and lead the defense, which I'm sure he'll be able to find some folks to do so.
Yeah, I'm not feeling bad about Dan Campbell because he, like you said, he basically kept them an extra year. He wasn't holding them hostage. He just came an extra year because they wanted to finish the job, but injuries got in the way. The other set of news, Ron, Jags owner. Is he a bad owner? Is he a worse owner than Woody with the Jets?
Wow, that's probably a tough one. He's probably up there. I don't think he has a clue as far as what to do with the team and how to manage the team, and like he completely botched this whole coaching hiring situation. He had his chance to get out in front of it. His team was out of the playoffs like a long time ago, and he decided not to bring Peterson back, which is fine. I think probably the right decisions. But you know, like any coach coming in is going to have a relationship with your GM in Trent Baalke. And like the news, the rumor around the league is like a lot of coaches did not get along with Baalke at all for whatever reason. They didn't want to report to Baalke. So, you know, you had guys going in interviewing and they're like, well, are you keeping Baalke? Well, I don't want to be here. And you had to have known, because I think I've heard this before. This isn't the first year I was hearing this about the Jags. You had to have known, right, at the beginning of this, or the end of the season, that you need to it's going to be difficult to find someone who'd want to come in and report to Baalke. So if you're not getting rid of him, like, you hopefully had an answer who that person's going to be. Now, today, the news is that they're firing him, right? And they're looking, you know, they're still continuing their search. Well, you missed out on all these guys. So we just talked about Ben Johnson, you know, moving on. We just talked about Vrabel. We talked about Aaron Glenn, right? All these coaches have moved on. The Tampa Bay Bucks coach that I think was a coordinator, right? The offensive coordinator that went and interviewed, he decided not to take it. All these guys you missed out on because you waited so long to make the decision on and come to the realization that no one wants to work with Baalke. It's just screams dysfunctional to me. That's what it screams.
Yeah, and you know, I felt at the beginning of the season, I felt for his, you know, this is the best Jag team that I've ever compiled. Blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, he knows football. No, he doesn't. He doesn't know football. And the fact is that he might hire a good coach based on the qualifications. But like you said, if your GM stinks so bad, why keep him? And now we know he's gone. So I still think that Woody is a worse owner in the league. Well, the Raiders owner is, you know, not too shabby as far as making bad moves, but Woody is pretty bad. Woody Harrison Johnson is pretty, pretty bad. Ron, let's get into the divisional games. Into the divisional games weekend. So let's start with the Chiefs at Texas, because this is Texans at Chiefs, So this was a game that I didn't see live because I had to work, but I saw the players afterwards, and almost to the T, they all complained that the refs made terrible calls. So were the refs making bad calls, or were the Texans just beating themselves?
Combination of both. You know, and the head coach had some words too. He didn't come out and say the officials were bad, but he was hinting at it. But it was a combination of both. Like, there were some like really bad calls at critical times, calls that were personal fouls, 15-yard penalty for roughing the quarterback. One, you know, was questionable. I think it was like a 50-50. And then the other one was like no one even touched him. Like, the two guys from the Texans ran into each other, and you know, Mahomes wasn't even touched, and that was you know, a 15-yard penalty. So, and that was at a critical time too. So, you know, those calls like can change the outcome of games, I think. And you know, you and I talked beforehand, the Chiefs, they if you look at the statistics, you know, their opponents are getting penalized at a far higher rate than they are every single game that they've played in the playoffs the last like couple years or so. So that's that it goes to that narrative that we're talking about the NFL putting its thumb on, you know,
the scale.
On the scale to say, listen, we want Kansas City not just to be in the playoffs, but we want the excitement that having a dynasty like Kansas City, that excitement that it brings to the NFL. The conversation of Mahomes being the GOAT, you know, the greatest of all time. We like those things. And I think, you know, just thinking back, I think a lot of those conversations around the GOAT especially are, I don't want to say, I won't use the word fabricated, but they're manufactured by the NFL, placing their thumb on the scale of games. I think it's obvious that they've done that over the last couple of years with Kansas City and the officiating that we've seen. I don't think it's been balanced. And I know officials can make mistakes and it should be both ways, but it doesn't tend to be that way when you look at the biggest games, right? Like playoff games at the biggest times. I think we've seen that not only with Kansas City, we've seen that, I think, or at least I felt it and heard other people talk about when the Patriots had their dynasty, right? And I'm sure we felt it with other dynasties in the past too. Like superstars, I get it. It's no different than the NBA. Superstars are going to get, the benefit of the doubt. Like the Michael Jordan rules. Same thing applies to the NFL. Mahomes is going to have his special rules. But the stuff that he's been allowed to get away with, and I don't know if you said you didn't see the game, but, at one point he was flopping when he ran out of bounds and stuff to try to draw a penalty. And he's not the only one who's flopped. Josh Allen is a notorious flopper, too, and he's still sitting in the playoffs, too. But my point is, it's not surprising to anyone that Kansas City is where they're at. And it's tough to beat them when you have to almost play a perfect game. Obviously, Houston didn't do that with Stroud getting sacked 8 times. All the mistakes that they've made, they did. They probably didn't deserve to win, but it's tough to do that anyways. When you can play a perfect game, and then you have a official that makes a tough call, questionable call, at the wrong time, and all of a sudden, you're losing. You're in Cancun with the rest of the team's NFL.
I'm looking at the statistics right now, and neither team had a turnover, which you know it's necessary if you want to win, have the other team turn over. But when I'm looking at the penalties, 82 yards for the Texans, 8 penalties, 4 penalties for the Chiefs, 29 yards. And then when I look at the third down efficiency, Texans were 10 for 17. The Chiefs were 4 for 11 on third down. So, and then I saw another statistic recently, Ron, that said that all the losing teams from the divisional round outgained, outyarded, and outpossessions the winning team all four games. So, this is supposed to be a offensive league. It doesn't seem that way sometimes, because even if, the other team scores more yards or more first downs, whatever the case might be, they still could potentially lose a game.
Yeah, it comes to big plays, which, I don't think there was a lot of big plays in this game, but it can come to huge penalty calls. That's what happened, when Houston, had a chance to either take the lead or get back in the game, Mahomes there was a flag thrown to Mahomes, and they go from like being third and like 15 to all of a sudden a first down, like 20 yards up the field. So those are crucial calls, man. And it completely can change the outlook of a game. And that's the part I think fans are frustrated with, because I don't see those plays being officiated fairly across the board, especially when it gets to these types of games. And it sucks that, if you are an opponent of the Chiefs, you can have a better team, play your best, like I said, but the game can still be taken away from you by an official making a poor call.
Yeah, I mean, It's getting laughable now. And I think before we started recording, you were like, well, this same thing happened to Tom Brady. And that's where I was like, well, not really, because there was a time.
Oh, absolutely. Not just the Tuck rule and all that. It does.
No, Tuck rule was the first dynasty. But in the second dynasty, Roger Goodell was no fan of the Patriots. Yes, maybe the NFL was like, hey, the Patriots are our moneymaker, fine. But Roger Goodell, I don't think there was a time where he suspended Brady for a dumb, a really, really, really dumb rule. That was the Deflategate. So I don't know about that. I do agree with you that the refs are blatantly picking bias when it comes to the Chiefs.
And the thing is, I think what's messed up is like it should not throw any questions about how talented Mahomes is or Brady is. Those guys would be the GOATs, even if he didn't have these play calls or penalties, excuse me. They probably still would be considered the GOATs, because even if they didn't, if Brady didn't win all those Super Bowls, or if Mahomes doesn't win all these Super Bowls, no one's going to look at them and say, oh, they're not the top, most exciting, greatest like quarterbacks in the league. Of course they're in that conversation, just like Dan Marino's in the conversation. You know, how many Super Bowls did Dan Marino win? So, you know, I think it's like Barry Bonds on steroids. That's kind of what it's like. It's like Barry Bonds is already great. He didn't need the steroids. Mahomes is already great. He doesn't need the officials throwing a flag and, you know, a penalty on players when the guy doesn't even touch him on his helmet. It's not needed. You know, he's already a great player. Just call it fairly and let's move on. But, you know, the NFL has a lot of like a long way to go when it comes to officiating. That's been an issue for years. So no surprise there.
To me, it's like, I think that it comes down to Andy Reid knows how to play the refs, knows how to. And I think that he coaches his players to do the same thing. Like, hey, when you go out there, flop if you have to. You know, when you go out there, if there's a call that it's a ghost call, because there's so many holding calls that you can be called on the Chiefs offensive line, but they don't.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, the amount of times, and the, you know, I forgot who was calling the game, but the right tackle was, like, literally not on the line. And that was something that they made an example of him, like beginning part of the season, like this year and last year. This guy was continuing to line up, you know, out of position. There was not one time did they throw a flag on him, you know. So that's the kind of stuff that drives me crazy. It's like, you see this guy's cheating, right? Why aren't you throwing the flag? But then you're going to throw a flag when someone dives at Mahomes and misses him and doesn't even, you know, come close to hitting him. You're going to throw a 15-yard penalty at the most crucial time. You know, give me a break. It doesn't make sense.
All right, Ron. This next game, Washington Commanders at Detroit Lions. Do we start saying that Jaden Daniels is the best rookie QB that we've seen in the past 25 years?
Listen, I was thinking about this, and he's certainly up there, but there's been a number of great, outstanding rookie performances.
QB. I'm not talking about running backs or any other position.
Yeah. QB too. Like, so RG3 had a ridiculous rookie year. Cam Newton had a good rookie year, but
they didn't make it to the conference finals.
Yeah, no, but well, RG3, I think, got hurt, right? Was his rookie year they got hurt in the playoffs. But regardless, I think what Jaden Daniels has done has been extremely impressive, and it might be the best rookie quarterback performance in NFL history. It's certainly up there for sure. And, you know, it's just amazing, like what he can do with his feet, what he can do through, like his accuracy is just ridiculous, man. Like the way he can, you know, throw the ball downfield and be accurately, you know, and timely. It's just amazing. And then his demeanor, you know, he just is like a vet. It's his first year, but he's calm, cool, and collected. And, you know, nothing, he doesn't ever get rattled. And if you can't get pressure on him, he's going to tear you apart. That's exactly what he did to Detroit, right? So, but at the same time, like, you know, it was a great game, great performance, but I do think this game would be completely different if Detroit had Hutchinson out there, right, and some of their other defensive players playing, because he wouldn't have the luxury of sitting back there and going through his reads, going through his progressions without, you know, a guy being right in his face. So
You don't think that it was the turnovers that hurt Detroit? You think it was just the defense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I think if Detroit was at full health, I think I'm not saying Daniels would have had some turnovers, but I don't think they would have put up like 45 points or whatever they put up.
I mean, this game was pretty close at halftime. It was only 21-33. So they were within striking distance, but then like the turnovers was just a downer.
How many were they? Five.
Five turnovers,
yeah.
One fumble, four interceptions, like by Goff. So,
and they still almost won. That's crazy, right?
Well, he did it against the Texans, and they won that game. But they didn't have Jaden Daniels, and I just feel like as long as Kingsbury doesn't use him as a running back, there were some plays that I was just like, "Why are you doing this? You have perfectly good running back. Why are you doing this?" And I'm not talking about the option design plays. I'm talking about like he just kept the ball and then run straight ahead. And I was just like, why are they doing that? This dude.
Not every team, but a lot of teams do. They do it with Lamar, right? Josh Allen does it.
Yeah, but he's not Lamar. He's not there yet. He's not, you know, Lamar is a ghost. It's once he gets going, it's hard to catch that dude. I'm just saying, like, don't, especially we're talking about a rookie QB that he's so damn accurate when it comes to passing the ball. And finally, they say, you know what? Let's just pass the ball. And finally, they scored 14 points in the fourth quarter and game over.
Yeah, that and Jared Goff making some, I mean, he was bad. There's no other way of putting it. He was, you know, those interceptions were not good. One of his worst games for sure, offensively. I think that, you know, I don't want to say that they looked down on the Commanders. I don't think that was the case at all. The Commanders came right out, like, put up 28 points in the second quarter on them. But I just think that they were like, oh man, they're scoring, our defense, their injuries and stuff like that is starting to show, right? Those cracks have now become like gaping holes. We're going to have to score to keep up with them. And, you know, I think Goff just felt that like pressure. I'm not talking about physical pressure. I think there was a lot of pressure on him just to make sure that they kept scoring. And I think he folded in the end, right? I think those interceptions were just him like folding to some of that pressure, because had the game gone differently, they probably would have wanted to run the ball more, right? Give Montgomery more carries, give Jameer more touches in the backfield. Those are the games they're comfortable with, right? Where it's just like, let me throw 30 times or whatever, but still run the ball, have some balance. But they're used to be playing for, you know, with a lead. When they got behind, I think they kind of like felt that pressure, and they, you know, I think it just got to Goff, and that's where he came in.
Yeah, it was sad to see Detroit go out like that. The next game, Ron, LA Rams at Philadelphia Eagles. This is a game that, again, Stafford threw for 324 yards compared to Hurts, who only did 128. So my question to you, Ron, is like, can this performance by Jalen Hurts continue into the conference championship, into the Super Bowl possibly? Like, can we just expect this from him every game, basically?
If it's working, if it's not broke, why fix it, right? So you can look at the 128 yards and say, oh, he didn't have a good game, but you're ignoring the 15 out of 20 passing, right? You're ignoring what he did with his feet, 7 rushes for 7 yards and a touchdown. Jalen Hurts had a damn good game to me. And this whole thing about, okay, he's not throwing, putting up 250, 300 yards, you know, he can't do it. First of all, I don't know if he can't do it anymore. I think he is slightly injured and we're seeing some of the effects of that. But I think even if he doesn't play to that extent where he's throwing 30 times, you know, 25, 30 times a game, I think they can still win as long as they have Barkley in that backfield. So to answer your question, yes, I think they can keep doing what they're doing. Let Hurts just be a distributor and game manager, if you will, you know, given however his health situation is. And don't make a mistake, and their defense is going to turn the other team over and give them plenty of opportunities to win.
Yeah, because this is basically what happened. They play conservatively. They have Barkley, who is a home run hitter. So any time he can break a 60, 70 yard run. So this is a good formula. Now, is this formula going to work against the Washington Commanders? We'll see. But I just wish 28 points is about right with this kind of defense. So I don't know if it's, like you said, if it's working, why try a different portion, right? This is what works. The downfall to me was the turnovers again. Turnovers and weather, those two things is too much for the Rams. Okay, the last game, Ron, this is a game that I watched on repeat because I couldn't believe my eyes. Baltimore at the Bills. The Bills end up winning by 2 points. And this is another game. The Baltimore outrushed and outpassed this Buffalo Bills team, but they lost the game. And it was due to the turnovers. Again, the turnovers, if you are a team on the road, you cannot turn the ball over. You just can't. And I feel like, was this Lamar's fault or no?
Yeah, I think he shares blame. I don't put it all on his shoulders, but he didn't have a great game, right? He threw two touchdowns, but he also had an interception. He fumbled the ball once and lost it, right? But Mark Andrews fumbled and lost it. Mark Andrews dropped the ball that could have got them a 2-point conversion. This was just like a team loss, period. That's how I look at it. I don't know if I look at that team or this game and can walk out saying Baltimore was the better team and it just blew it, because I do think Buffalo is a good team and Buffalo has been playing well. But I do think when Baltimore gets into these tough games, right, in playoff games, they always seem to come out on the losing end. And I don't know if this is a Lamar thing or a Harbaugh thing or what, but these last 3 years or whatever, they seem to come up on the losing end of these tough, tough playoff games. And it's like last year was something stupid. You didn't run the ball enough. This year, probably some of the same thing. You only gave Derrick Henry 16 carries. Probably should have done a little bit more. But this year was really about the turnovers, the drop pass, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's for whatever reason they come up short against great teams in the playoffs. So, you know, I do feel bad for Lamar. I certainly feel bad for Mark Andrews, like dropping that pass. But, you know, I don't know, even if he was to catch that pass, I wouldn't be convinced that Buffalo wouldn't just have, you know, won the coin toss in overtime and just, marched right up the field and scored.
Yeah, I mean, this Baltimore defense was actually pretty good. I know that, you know, Josh Allen had two touchdowns, right? Two touchdowns on the ground, but that was from, you know, inside the 5-yard line. So I'm not going to be too harsh on this team, but Lamar now is like 3-8. Lifetime in the playoffs, that's just not gonna cut it. Like, that's not gonna, until he actually wins big, or maybe have like a better path where all the games are at home. Because obviously, when he's on the road, something happens where he just doesn't play that well, whether it's Kansas City, whether he's playing at Buffalo or any other, you know, any other stadium, he's just not the same player.
Yeah, but it's not all him. Something fluky happens too. You know, like I said, like last year, they didn't run enough. Flowers also, remember Flowers dropped the ball as he was diving into the end zone, and that was the reason they lost. Like, something fluky always seems to happen. That you can't always just point to Lamar, but, you know, yeah, I but do it's, think...
Nobody, great, says, great. Nobody says, oh, Flowers is 3-8 in the playoffs. No one says that. They're only going to look at Lamar's record as 3-8. So that's what I mean is, like, all the hate that Mark Andrews is getting, listen, he's not going to have a 3-8 record in the playoffs. It's going to be Lamar. So we can make excuses and we can say, well, I don't know if it's Harbaugh. I don't know if this guy. If you take care of, if you had those wins at the beginning of the season, those losses that you know you should have gone, you should have won those games, whether it's tiptoe Kansas City, whether it's losing to the Bengals, whatever the team was, you need to take care of business all year round. So I don't feel, it's not that I don't feel bad for Lamar. I do. But at the same time, you just got to take care of business. You can't, you know, you can't stay on week four, oh, we should have played better. Or, oh, we, you know, especially when you have somebody like the Pittsburgh Steelers who's just winning every game early in the season. So I don't know. Lamar's still young. What is he, like 25, 26, 27? So he's not in his 30s yet, so he's still got some time left. I just don't know. You know, when you get older as a quarterback, the legs is the first thing to go.
So yeah, he's 28.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Ron, let's get into the conference championship. We're talking about the final four here. We have Washington at Philadelphia. When I looked this up, the spread was 6.5 Philly. The over-under is 47.5. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, and I went back and forth with this one. And, I think this game is going to be interesting because I'll start off with Washington. You're playing a much tougher defense. It's not like you're playing Detroit with, like, five guys on IR. You're playing a defense in Philadelphia that has the best front, probably the best secondary in the league. I'm curious to see what sort of production that they're going to get out of their running game and out of Jaden Daniels when he's going to have like tight windows, be under pressure. I think that's going to be tough for him. On the other end, Philadelphia, you know, I think they're going to try to play ball control, which we just talked about, not ask Jaden to do too much, run the ball, with have Hurts use his legs, have Barkley use his legs, so on and so forth. So I give the advantage here to Philly because of their defense. I went back and forth with this one, but I think Philly is going to win. I don't think they're going to cover that 6.5 point spread. I got them winning 24-23 in a close game.
See, I like Philly to win this one, and I like Philly to go over the spread. I think that if there's any game that Vic Fangio defense needs to step up is this game. Because, number one, you're going to have the weather on your side. It's going to be terrible again. We still haven't seen Jaden Daniels play well in bad weather. Because Tampa Bay, the weather was perfect, basically. Then he went indoors, played Detroit. I think the weather will affect him how much? Not. I don't think enough to throw him off his game, but I think some. And then the Jalen Hurts situation, we don't know. We definitely know that he's not 100%, but we don't know what's ailing him. Is it the concussion or is it something else? Like, I know today's Wednesday. I think they came out with the report already, but I think Philly wins this game 24-17. But again, it all depends on if the defense actually steps. I know they lost. Philly lost one of their leading tacklers against the Rams. one of the safeties. So I don't know if he's going to be available, if he's done for the year. But I think with the front line, with Jalen Carter there, this is going to be disruptive. So I have Philly winning, and I have them winning over the spread. I still take the under on that, though, right? Yeah, I got
it. Yeah, 47.5. Yeah, we're both under.
Yeah, we're both under. The next game, Buffalo at Kansas City. The Chiefs are favored by 2 points. Same over and under, 47.5. Ron, who are you picking?
So remember 2 weeks ago, you're asking me like what teams left, who has the easiest road. And I said the Buffalo Bills. I still do believe that. I think they have the easiest path. They got over the Ravens, even though it was a tough game, came down to the very end, drop pass. I think it's going to be tough for them to beat Kansas City. Going back to what I just said about the officials and officiating, I think, Mahomes, Kansas City is going to get the benefit of some questionable calls that are going to eventually, have the Chiefs win. And, it's going to be to the Bills' downfall. So, I think the game could go either way. I think talent-wise, I think Buffalo is the better team. I think just based on what I've seen already and just knowing what we talked about earlier with the officiating and stuff like that, it's going to be hard for me to go against Kansas City at home in KC. So give me Kansas City 24-21.
Yeah, I like Buffalo because they actually impressed me. They got some players back on defense. Von Miller looks very serviceable. They got Milano back. Again, he looks very serviceable. So I think that the defense is going to step up. I want to see, obviously Josh Allen is probably going to get the MVP between him and Lamar. But I think Josh Allen has been playing his heart out, has been playing better than Mahomes, even though Mahomes' magic is a real thing. I don't know. I think McDermott is going to tell the team, like, hey, you're not only playing the Chiefs, you're also playing the refs. So I think that's going to be in their mind, whenever they line up for a play, whenever, they have those dumb penalties where they always catch the second guy throwing the punch. I don't think we're going to see much of that from Buffalo because they know they're going to get flagged right away. That's just the way that it is, right? That's just the way that the NFL wants to play it. So I have Buffalo winning 24-21. I think they go over that spread. If it remains at 2, might be 1.5 by the time we post this. But I think, the weather is not going to be, something that both teams care about because they're both cold weather teams. So I'm really excited. I'm glad that this is a night game. Just sit down and watch and, and this is hard for me because you have Kansas City, who I don't want to see them 3-peat, and then you have Buffalo, who is in the Eastern Division, right? So, but I want Buffalo to win this one. So I'm going 24-21.
Both these games are on Sunday. I guess for fairness, that makes the most sense. I was just thinking, why not put one of these games Saturday night instead, make them both primetime games? But, I guess just to get equal days rest before the Super Bowl, it makes sense to put them on the same day.
I mean, you're getting over 2 weeks anyways, right? But yeah, I mean, if you want to be fair, which we know the NFL doesn't do fair, so this is probably one time where they're like, I guess we'll do it this way for now. So
you got at this point, you have Bills versus Eagles in your Super Bowl, right?
Right.
And then what do I have? I got Kansas City versus Eagles in my Super Bowl. Is what it looks like it's going to be based on our predictions.
Yeah, because once Detroit bailed out, and then Ravens bailed out. I was like, well, those were my two Super Bowl picks, and now they're out. So
if, I want to see Jaden Daniels somehow gets their team to the Super Bowl, but you might as well just give him the ring now, because, you know, if he can get all his team all the way through the NFC into the Super Bowl, that would just be amazing. And I don't care who he's playing, whether it's Buffalo or Chiefs, I'd probably put some money on Commanders at that point to win the Super Bowl.
Where is the Super Bowl this year? Is it in New Orleans or is it in Arizona?
I'm not even sure. Yeah. I was going to say Atlanta, but I don't think that's the case.
No, I think Atlanta might be getting it next year. Or is it? I don't know. I know for a fact is that if Jaden Daniels wins this game and goes to the Super Bowl, we might be thinking about another NFL face of the league, basically.
Yeah, because it is New Orleans this year.
Yeah, it's New Orleans. Yeah. So, yeah, and I have noticed, Ron, that all of a sudden I see a lot of Washington Commanders hats, and I see a lot of Washington Commanders t-shirts. I'm like, I haven't seen any. I've seen a lot of Redskins, but all of a sudden people are trading in all their Redskins stuff for the Washington Commanders, which is, you know, surprising, I guess. But sometimes people just... You're a super fan that have been dormant for so many years, right? And all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, I have a great uncle that used to live in the DC area, Maryland.
I know.
I'm like, oh, okay, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, ridiculous.
So next week is the Pro Bowl. It's going to be episode 118. Not really much unless something happens, because there's not going to be any free agents. There's not going to be any draft. There might be some new hires.
We'll recap these games for sure.
Oh, of course. Of course, we have the recap. So, Ron, feel better. I'm going to post this. And then, hopefully, Sunday we got our Super Bowl winners. Super Bowl match. So, until we meet again, I say peace.
Peace.
All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's simsportsmedia@gmail.com. Peace.
Show.